Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS, DJ Nation, what is up? What is happening? We are back again. We are on to week 7. Hope everybody is having a good week this week. We actually get a Thursday night game with some points are being scored. It's 28-17 in the third quarter of this game. Almost surprising to see some points here. I'm used to seeing, those 7-6 type games all year. But regardless of that, we are on to week 7. We are looking forward to the main slate. Maddie is back with us again this week. He is off the IR. We have activated him, and he is back in this week. But we were hoping to get D-Bro on this week, but then he had something come up. So eventually we'll get the three of us back onto a show again.
Yeah, we'll get a three-man going again here soon. Seems like maybe next week might be the week.
Yeah,
week 8. But it's good to be back.
Yeah, well, we're happy to have you back. So that being said, Walito in the chat dropping the super chat. Appreciate you, Andy Dalton, his butt cheeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Though I'll say one of those wasn't on him. One of those picks was not on him. Anyway, so let's just go ahead and dive right in, shall we? So at quarterback position, we have starting off Lamar Jackson at 8K, Patrick Mahomes at 7,800, Justin Herbert at 7,200, Joe Burrow at 6,900. Dak Prescott is finally back. And could he have had a better matchup to start the season? At $6,700 against Detroit, Tom Brady, $6,300, Russell Wilson, Mr. Broncos country, let's ride.
Mr. Subway.
Is at $6,200. And then Aaron Rodgers is at $6,000, and that wraps up our $6,000 and above quarterbacks this week. Cody, did I miss the FanDuel cash game breakdown? You did. You'll have to wait until after the season for that to happen, because that is never going to happen here. So, anyways,
I think you clicked on the wrong stream.
Yes, I think you're at the wrong place. Maddie, what are we doing at quarterback this week?
So you'll like this. Once again, the Chiefs are coming in at literally no ownership. And let me just run you through some of these 49ers injuries. Nick Bosa missed last week with a groin injury. He may come back this week, but even if he does, that's, only one piece to the puzzle here. They've got a defensive end, Jordan Willis. He's on IR. Javon Kinlaw was placed on IR last week. Eric Armstead's still DMP this week in practice, missed last week. They've got another defensive tackle, Maurice Hurst. He's out for the season. A linebacker, Aziz Al-Shahir, he's on IR. Emmanuel Mosley's he's out for the year with a torn ACL. Traverius Ward, he left the game last week. Jason Verrett is supposed to come back, but he's, testing his injury. He's got soreness in his knee from ACL recovery, so his return is slow. And then Jimmy Ward is supposed to play this week with a cast on his broken hand. So that is a 49ers defense that is going to run out a bunch of secondary scrubs that we just saw Marcus Mariota and company just trounce all over them last week. And anytime I can get, a Chiefs at 3% owned, I have heavy, heavy interest in that. So Mahomes is the guy I like at the top for low ownership. And anytime that Mahomes goes off, he usually takes Kelsey with him, and nobody's going to play Kelsey at 8K either. So, I mean, you really have to pay a lot at 16K for just two guys. But, I mean, that's two guys that can get you 60 points when they combine together. So, definitely have interest in playing the Chiefs here. I'd probably go back to the MVS. Well, I know he, had a big old goose egg last week, but I don't think it's a Juju repeat performance. I think MVS is going to eventually score here. and he's really been their leading receiver this year. So I like, you know, rounding out that Chiefs stack with that. But I also like Lamar. The Cleveland defense has also been dealing with a ton of injuries, and they've just frankly been not good. So Lamar is somebody I have heavy interest in, but need to pay attention to the Mark Andrews injury. He's not been practicing this week. They said yesterday was maintenance day, but he popped up on the injury report with a knee injury. So he's missed two straight practices already. If he were to be out, I would have, you know, much less interest in Lamar. But assuming Andrews plays, I have a ton of interest in Lamar because we've seen, you know, what Lamar can do in the first 2 weeks when J.K. Dobbins was not back yet. And, you know, they're not going to just sit there and rely on Kenyon Drake. So Lamar is going to essentially become their running back like we've seen Kyler Murray do for the Cardinals with no James Conner. These running quarterbacks tend to have more design runs and tend to drop back more, which leads to more scrambles. So I really like the Ravens to get right here. That, you know, they've lost quite a few games they shouldn't have lost this year already. And you know, they're back playing a divisional opponent here that they should be able to run the score up on, because Cleveland's defense has been one of the worst in the NFL. So with Dobbins dealing with Dobbins should play, but they said he's been dealing with knee soreness. And that's why Kenyon Drake took over the lead role this past week. So that's kind of why I like Lamar to take on a bigger workload this week. It sounds like Dobbins' knee is starting to give him some issues coming back from his torn ligaments from last year. So Lamar and Mahomes up top. And obviously as we move down, you know, that Chargers and Seattle game is the highest total game of the week, and for good reason. I mean, that's two teams also that are not playing defense. So Herbert's definitely in play, and Geno Smith should be one of the more popular options this week. He's only 5,600, but the Seattle's have one of the best offenses in the league this year. So those are two guys you can absolutely stack up from that game, Herbert and the Chargers or Geno in Seattle. And then outside of that, Joe Burrow is getting a matchup with Atlanta, and we've seen, you know, what he can do over the last week. He scored 35 DK points, and we've seen Cincinnati run it up on teams before. And Atlanta doesn't, I say run it up, but Atlanta doesn't really get blown out. They've played a lot of close games this year. So I think that game could play a little closer than what most people give it credit for. So I definitely have interest in Burrow as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, last week was probably their first like really big game he's had all year, with the 35 that he dropped last week. I guess he did have 26 week one, but other than that, I mean, that was a really good performance. But there's a lot of really good matchups here, I think, to choose from. And I'm going to have a ton of Dak Prescott at 6,700. He's coming back from injury, but he's definitely 100% healthy, ready to go. There's a lot to like here with this game with Dak. I mean, right now they have the highest implied point total on the slate at 28. The point total has risen all the way up to 49 points. Wouldn't be surprised if it gets to that 50 mark before the season or before Sunday. The Lions allow the fourth most DK points to quarterbacks. They're also 32nd in pass DVOA. There's a lot to like here with this game. This is a really bad defense here for Detroit. And so, you know, for Dak Prescott's first game back, I think 6,700. Whether you want to pair him with CeeDee Lamb, you want to pair him with Michael Gallup, I think all of those guys are certainly in play. So I absolutely love attacking this Dallas-Detroit game. I think this game could go absolutely nuclear. On the other side of that, Detroit's getting all their weapons back. DeAndre Swift should be back. Amon-Ra St. Brown should be 100% healthy when he was on a pitch count the last time they played, coming off their bye. So I think between those two options right there, or between that game itself, I'm going to want a lot of attention on this game. And then you know, I think Justin Herbert has really struggled the last 2 weeks, only putting up 14 and 9.42 DK points each of the last two games that he's played. But this is a really good spot for them as well, going against Seattle. He's 7,200. Keenan Allen likely isn't going to play this week. I think there's probably a better shot that now that it looks like Keenan, that since they're on bye next week, that maybe he returns after that. But still, I think Justin Herbert, whether you want to pair him with Austin Eckler, who saw 16 targets last week, I think him, Justin or Austin Eckler, Mike Williams, and even somebody like Joshua Palmer, as long as he clears concussion protocol, I think all those guys are in play. Gerald Everett as well. And I don't think a lot of people are going to really play this Chargers offense because of how they've looked lately. So $7,200 Justin Herbert. And then from there, I think if you want to get leverage off of what is going to be a very – very chalky Josh Jacobs. I think you could go to Derek Carr at 5,900 here against this Houston team on the road, or excuse me, at home against the Texans. And so, you know, they can definitely be had on the air and through the ground. And so I do think that this is another direction. I think that you could go, and I think it would get really nice leverage off of what is going to be an extremely, extremely chalky Josh Jacobs. And then if you want to pay down at quarterback, I have some interest in going with a Matt Ryan at $5,400.
I don't hate that.
Against his Tennessee defense. This Tennessee secondary is really bad. You can the only thing that would worry me, because it sounds like Jonathan Taylor should also be back, so there is that, this is going to be like that kind of ground and pound, slow paced type game. But I do think Matt Ryan, who's coming off his best game of the year, Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, there's a lot of pass catchers here, Jonathan Taylor, especially if they can get this play action game going with Jonathan Taylor. But $5,400 Matt Ryan, if you want to pay down at quarterback, I think you could do that. And then I also have some interest in Trevor Lawrence as well at $5,700. Trevor Lawrence has played pretty well this year. He's been utilized on the ground as well. I think he scored one or two rushing touchdowns last week. I know he had one for sure. But Trevor Lawrence right now has been pretty solid so far to start the season. And, you know, he is getting a little bit through on the ground. He does have two rushing touchdowns on the year. He's averaging only about four carries per game, but he's also top six in red zone carries, where he has seven carries inside and in the red zone as well. So I do think Trevor Lawrence is another direction he could go. The Giants, in my mind, I mean, they really haven't played a lot of like really explosive offenses so far to start the year. And not saying that Jacksonville is, you know, this like world beater offense, but I definitely think they have the pieces to be able to you know, put up some points here. So Trevor Lawrence, I think, is another way you could go if you want to pay down a quarterback.
Yeah, I looked at Matt Ryan originally, and I think the way I'm just going to approach that situation is just play Alec Pierce by himself, because I think I have the same concerns that you have. I don't know if Taylor comes back. I just don't know that the volume is going to be there for those guys, and they played in a shootout last week with Jacksonville. And obviously, you know, Tennessee's always been good, but that just seems like a game where both teams just want to pound it with their star running backs. So if I'm going to play that pass game, I'll probably just play Pierce as a one-off, just because he's 4,500 and I can, you know, he can get there on, you know, six targets. I don't need a shootout for Pierce to get there. So definitely think that's interesting. And for the same reason you like Matt Ryan against Tennessee, somebody that caught my eye, and I want to do some more digging into it, but Aaron Rodgers is 6K against the Washington Commanders, who are probably the biggest pass funnel defense in the NFL. I mean, they just absolutely stuffed the run. And A.J. Dillon's not been getting, you know, they're not just handing the ball off to A.J. Dillon. And they want to get Aaron Jones more involved. And that doesn't just mean turn around and hand the ball off to Aaron Jones. That means, you know, get Aaron Jones involved in the pass game, let Aaron Rodgers, you know, get going. And why can't Aaron Rodgers go for 3 or 4 or 5 touchdowns here against a really, really bad Washington secondary?
Yeah, it's just, man, that offense has looked so bad. I mean, he was somebody that we talked about last week and something that we kind of thought that maybe could be kind of a sneaky option going against the Jets. Now, of course, the Jets secondary is far superior with Sauce Gardner, who's played really, really well so far to start this year. But it's just, there's not a lot to love with, I guess, this, just how this offense has looked. They look really broken. And Aaron Rodgers has played great. But, I mean, he's only 6K. I think it is a cheaper stack with, you know, with whether you want to go with Lazard or Romeo Doubs or even Robert Tonyan, I think are all in play. So I don't hate it. And obviously this is a much better matchup. I think on the surface, I think especially when you just kind of look at it and say, oh, it's the Jets, right? The Jets defense sucks. But in reality, the Jets pass defense has actually been pretty decent this year. Really, it's been outside of their slot corner. Has been really where you wanted to attack them. But past that, they've done a pretty good job so far against the pass. And that's because their two outside corners have done such a good job against the pass so far. I mean, really, you look at the Jets so far, they're 15th in pass DVOA and they're 12th in rush DVOA. So they're almost top 12 in both categories. So they've done a really good job of limiting opposing offenses. So I actually don't mind that call with Aaron Rodgers. It's just, you know, Eventually, you feel like they have to have a big game where they just go off, right? Like where he has one.
Yeah, and when they do, I mean, we know what the pieces are, right? Like, I mean, I guess if Sammy Watkins comes back, that muddies the waters a little bit. But didn't Cobb get hurt last week?
Yeah, Cobb got hurt, yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, Cobb's out. Let's see. Well, Watkins is on IR, but he's designated to return.
Yeah, but I mean, Sammy Watkins, you blow on him, you know, a little too hard. And
right. So know. I guess the point I'm making is we know if Rodgers were to explode, Lazard, Dobbs, and maybe Tonyan. And I mean, Christian Watson should be back. But like, why can't Lazard and Dobbs beat those Washington corners all day long? I mean, the defenses that Rodgers has played so far, I mean, you just talked about how good the Jets cornerbacks are, and they have been very good. They played the Giants, which the Giants defense has been respectable this year under Wink Martindale. The Patriots, not a terrible pass defense. They're much more susceptible on the ground. Tampa Bay, they've had, you know, a very solid defense this year. Chicago, not a great defense, but I mean, they won that game 27-10 like they should. So Rodgers only threw the ball 25 times, scored 17 points in a game he didn't need to throw. And then week one was week one at Minnesota. They got absolutely blown out, but that happened to them last year too. So like really, I mean, only that Chicago game is the only good quote unquote matchup they've had in terms of passing. And they won the game 27-10. And with Heinicke being the quarterback, I actually think the Washington offense gets a bump this week. I mean, we've seen Heinicke ball out and keep games close. Now, he can make mistakes, but I mean, it's a home game for Washington. So I don't know. I just think I could be doing all this talking and I probably won't end up on Rodgers, but I would not be shocked if Rodgers threw for, you know, 300 yards and 4 or 5 touchdowns.
Just when I think I'm out, they pull me back in. No, I think there's a lot to like here with him. And I think there's a lot of upside here with his offense and with Aaron Rodgers and his pass catchers here. It is a stack that's not going to cost you a lot to be able to get to it.
I mean, you know where it's at, and it's affordable.
Alan Lazard is 6,100. Mm-hmm. I mean, Robert Tonyan is what? What is he? What is he? 4,100 for Robert Tonyan. You really could go Aaron Jones too and utilize him, because I mean, his ability as a pass catcher, they're going to use him a lot there as well. He's 7,600, and so like, there's a lot of I think pieces you could go here with the offense that. And at 6K, no ownership, and a really good matchup against Washington. It makes some sense. It's just the offense overall has just looked terrible this year. So, other than that, do you have any other quarterbacks you want to hit on, or do you want to jump over to running backs?
No, that's it.
All right. So, at top, just like we did with quarterbacks, Christian McCaffrey is 8,400. Austin Eckler is 8,300. Derrick Henry is 8,200. Jonathan Taylor is 8,100. Nick Chubb is 8K. Saquon is 7,900. Leonard Fournette is 7,700. Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon wrap up the 7K. And then once we get down to 6K, it is DeAndre Swift, Josh Jacobs, Damian Pierce, Breece Hall, Jamal Williams, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Zeke Elliott, and Melvin Gordon wrap up the 6K and above running backs. I can say for me, I think that there's a couple of options here, at least in terms of the 6, especially the 6K range. Because Damian Pierce, I think, is a really nice play at 6,400. He's played really well. He's actually seen 11 targets in over his last two games. I don't have to go. I mean, Josh Jacobs is in an absolute smash spot for him. I mean, Houston allows the most DK points to running backs. They allow the 7th most rushing yards, tied for 3rd most touchdown. Houston ranks 29th in rush DVOA. The Raiders have the 3rd highest implied point total and are 8-point favorites, you know, at home against this Houston Texans defense. And so Josh Jacobs, but he's also going to be the, what, like 25, 30, maybe 40% rostered? He's
projected 40% right now.
And so, like, I don't know. Like, I don't trust him that much, right? Like, and I know chalk has really hit so far this year, but I just think there are other options you could really go to. And really, if you really just want to get leverage off of him, I think even just going to Damian Pierce, who is 6,400 in that very same game, I think isn't crazy to do, because Damian Pierce has played really well. And like I said, somebody that started to see a lot more usage in the passing game. And then, you know, I think actually I'm going to hate myself for this, but Derrick Henry at $8,200, they're actually utilizing him in the passing game lately. So he's seen 6 targets week 3, 5 targets week 4, and then he only did see 2 in week 5. But if he's going to be a little bit more involved in the passing game against this Indianapolis defense, like, I think Derrick Henry at $8,200, I think, is somebody that I'm going to have some interest in.
I'm not going to play Henry, but feel free.
Yeah, it's – I don't know. I just think this is a good matchup for him against this defense. And it's really has been the more so the utilization of the passing game that he's been getting. Mm-hmm. I think that makes him an interesting play. Because what, he had 58 receiving yards week 3, 33, and then 30 as well to go along with back-to-back 100-yard rushing games. And he has now scored a touchdown every single week going all the way back to week 2. But I get it. He's $8,200.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to – I can't see myself playing 2 guys over AK, and I have a really hard time clicking Henry's name when Eckler's right there at the same price.
Yeah, especially against Seattle, right?
Yeah. I mean, Eckler's just been so good over the last 3 weeks. Like, at this point, he's a lock for, what, 6, 7, 8 receptions, somewhere in there. So it's essentially a free touchdown that you're getting. And then if he scores twice, you're now up to 18 points already just from receptions and the touchdown. Now you throw in the rushing yards. If he gets up to 60 to 70, which he normally does, then you're looking at, 24, 25 points, and throw in the receiving yards. Now you're looking at 28, 29, 30. Eckler's just so good. And I think that Seattle Chargers game could end up shooting out. And I don't think Keenan Allen's supposed to be back this week. I know he's got a Q tag, but he's limited been limited in practice. And it just sounds like he's not going to play. And Eckler's really taken off since Keenan's been out. So, it's Eckler for me at the top. And I don't hate the Aaron Jones call that you mentioned. I think Joe Mixon's interesting. He's looked like dust this year, but I mean, he's still getting, the large workload. They didn't run him a ton last week, but it's a much, much better matchup this week against Atlanta as opposed to facing New Orleans. So I wouldn't write him off, and he only had 13 touches last week, but still scored 17 DraftKings points. So he's, only got 2 TDs this year. That number should go up. 7K. I think that's priced in, and with the good matchup, I definitely think he's interesting on non-Burrow teams, and you can even play him with Burrow because he catches passes too. So, outside of that, yeah, it's really hard not to like Josh Jacobs. I don't really need to say anything about him facing Houston at home, worst run defense in the NFL, and is going to have one of the best workloads of the slate. So, barring injury, I mean, it's just hard to see Jacobs not finish as a top 5 running back this week. And then you've got $5,800 Kenneth Walker. He's facing another bad run defense in the Chargers. I have heavy interest in him. And outside of that, I mean, I think that's pretty much going to do it for me. Obviously, you can play Breece Hall. He's talented enough, and you can actually run on Denver. So I think Breece Hall is interesting. He's 6,200. And then the other guy, Jeff Wilson, just put up a dud of 1 point last week, but I don't think that's going to happen again. And Kansas City's been not the best pure rushing matchup, but you can definitely, have running backs that, catch a ton of passes. We saw Singletary last week, and he caught a ton of passes early in the game, and they ended up getting away from that. But I mean, the Chiefs defense has been allowing a lot of underneath receptions to running backs. So I think Jeff Wilson's interesting at 5,800 as well in a game that should be relatively high scoring. So that's pretty much going to do it for me though at running back.
So I do want to mention Travis Etienne. I think he is a tremendous pay down spot at $5,400 against the Giants on the season. The Giants allow the 4th most rushing yards, and they also are 28th in rush DVOA on the year. So they definitely can be had on the ground. Travis Etienne, we're starting to see his usage climb each of the last few weeks. He's also been a very efficient runner as well. He's 3rd in yards created per touch, 11th in yards per route run, and he's 10th in breakaway run rate on the season. And so Travis Etienne at 5,400, it feels like he's getting closer to kind of having that big explosive game where he really kind of takes over this backfield. And so Travis Etienne at 5,400 in a home matchup against the Giants, I do like that. If you're wanting to pay down and you're looking for a pay down option here at running back, if you're trying to jam in maybe a little bit more expensive wide receiver, I think if you're wanting looking for a pay down spot, Travis Etienne, I think, is definitely somebody we should be looking at this week. And then I'm surprised you didn't bring up Dak, because this is an also elite matchup against Detroit's defense. I mean, Detroit's defense is terrible.
You mean Zeke?
Or Zeke, that's what I meant. Yeah, not Dak. I think, yeah. Zeke at 6K. It's just, God.
I'd rather put Pollard.
Yeah, yeah. You're not going to get no arguments from me on that. It's just, I've seen a lot of people talk about Zeke this week and really wanting him to get him in. It's just, I don't know, was last week a mirage of, you know, his 13 carries for 81 yards? I mean, that's the best game he's really had in terms of just a more of efficiency that he's had all year. He's kind of looked dust. I still didn't see anything last week that made him look like that he was, like, back or something like that. But this is still a really good matchup against Detroit. Detroit's run defense is atrocious. And so it's not a terrible spot if you want to go to Zeke at 6K. But I also agree that, you know, if you want to go to Tony Pollard at 5,700, I think is also very, very very doable again.
The thing with Zeke is he's 6K and he's not catching any passes. I mean, his targets are 102, 122. So he essentially has to get you there on the ground. And I mean, yeah, Zeke can fall into two touchdowns, right? Just because of his role. When they get down to the goal line, I mean, Zeke's their goal line back. So two touchdowns is absolutely in play. The question becomes, can he get you 100-plus yards? And just with his volume, they are splitting carries. Like Pollard is getting just as much run on the ground as Zeke is. I mean, Zeke's got one game where he carried the ball 20 times. But outside of that, I mean, you look at Pollard's game log, 11 carries, 8 carries, 8 carries, 13 carries, 9 carries, 6 carries in game one. So, I mean, Pollard's getting 75% of the carries that Zeke is getting, and Pollard is a much more explosive back. So I'd rather just take my shot on, you know, Pollard breaking one off for a long one. And because Pollard, I think Pollard could hit the 100-yard bonus if he scores a long touchdown. So and he's going to definitely be a little more involved in the pass game. So that's why it's just they're splitting the work, and that's why if it was like, you know, 75-25 as opposed to like 55-45 work, I'd be definitely more in on Zeke, even though he doesn't look as good just because the matchup is good enough to where he can fall into two touchdowns. But I'm just concerned his volume isn't high enough for him to break the 100-yard mark, which, I mean, he's 6K, so you're really going to need that 100 yards, get the three-point bonus that puts you at 13. And then the two touchdowns put you to 25. That's what you're going to need that for a 6K guy to win a tournament. So
you think so, but I do wonder with this offense, and maybe I think it may have to do with more of Cooper Rush not looking to really check down or utilize any of his pass catchers. Because even Tony Pollard really hasn't been in, very utilized as a pass catcher either. Week two, we saw 7 targets, but past that, it's been 1, 3, 0, and 3. In terms of pass catching usage. And so I do wonder if how much of that was Cooper Rush versus what I think Dak Prescott will look a little bit more towards that.
Yeah, it's also been Dallas kind of – they haven't really been playing in shootouts as well. They've played – so the Giants game, they played in front. The Cincinnati game, they played in front. The Washington game, they obviously played in front the whole time. The Rams game, they played in front the whole time. Then this Philly game is really the last game or the first game they've played from behind all year except for week one when Dak played. So that's kind of, I think, why Pollard's targets haven't been there. But, yeah, I mean, with Dak coming back, they obviously should skew more towards the pass. And I mean, they had one of the most explosive pass offenses in the NFL last year. So, I mean, obviously Amari Cooper isn't there and that's big. And if Schultz, you know, if he can't play this week. That's also big because Schultz is honestly Dak's favorite target. So it'll be big if he can't play. So we'll see how that turns out. But I mean, regardless, there shouldn't be a ton of resistance on the wide receivers. But if Schultz doesn't play, I mean, that makes me like Pollard even more. I would think he would become the safety blanket for Dak.
Schultz got a full practice in today.
So did he get it in? Okay. Yeah. Okay, so then he should be back. And honestly, I like Schultz, especially if you're playing Dak. Nobody's going to play him. And he is Dak's go-to guy. He's 3,600.
All right, let's do what we normally do. And give me your – unless you have – do you have any of the running backs you really want to hit on?
No, it's just a handful of those guys for me this week. I'm not getting cute at running back this week.
All right, give me your top three.
Eckler, Jacobs, and – I'm going to say Kenneth Walker. A little chalky, but it just feels.
Well, I'll say this. This is what I'll say with Kenneth Walker is that this is a great matchup for Kenneth mm-hmm. Walker. I mean, the Chargers are 22nd rush DVOA. They're on the fourth most DK points to running backs. And the only thing that worries me, though, is if they build a big lead. We haven't really seen this, how this is going to play out when Seattle's trailing, right? They won last week, 19-9, very ugly game. Because he's not utilized as a pass catcher at all, Kenneth Walker. And so if they're not going to utilize him as a pass catcher, and they trail, how much usage is he going to get, and do they abandon the run? Or some, anyways. We know Pete Carroll never fully abandoned the run. But so that's the only thing that would worry me with Kenneth Walker, is how this game script plays. But Chargers defense has not been very good, so I don't know if there's
no. A lot to think that, I don't. That. I don't see the Chargers blowing them out.
Yeah. So, but that would be the only concern with Kenneth Walker, just because of his lack of pass catching volume, and the Chargers are 6-point favorites on that game as well. So at home. Anyways, for me, I think my favorite would be definitely Austin Eckler. It's hard not to love him. And then from there, Travis Etienne would definitely be in there for me. And then I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm gonna fade the chalk. I'm gonna go Derrick Henry as the other option that I like if you're wanting to pay up. All right. So at wide receiver, we have Davante Adams at 8,700. Jamar Chase is 8,200. Debo is 7,600. Michael Pittman is 7,400. Mike Williams is 72. Amon-Ra St. Brown is 71. Mike Evans, CeeDee Lamb. Keenan Allen, who is very questionable, DK Metcalf, T. Higgins, Chris Godwin, Cortland Sutton, Amari Cooper, Alan Lazard, Brandon Cooks, and Brandon Ayuk wrap up the 6K and above. So, Maddie, hit us with some of these more expensive wide receivers you're looking to get in this week.
Who, if you had to guess, who would you say is the chalkiest wide receiver?
Jamar Chase.
CeeDee Lamb is projecting for almost 30% ownership. That is for somebody that has scored, what, 30 points maybe one time in his career so far? I mean, Lamb's fine. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's solid, but he's currently projecting as the highest owned wide receiver this week when I just pulled up ownerships, and that is crazy to me. Now, I think, you know, Lamb actually has been better with Rush. He's got better per-game numbers with Rush than he does with Dak, which is funny, but anyways, I like up at the top, I actually like Debo Samuel a lot. I mean, Kev, you've watched every Chiefs game. You know that opposing wide receiver ones have absolutely obliterated the Chiefs this year.
But
and if you want to say say Debo's not a true wide receiver one, I really like Ayuk in the same coin. It's if he's more of a true, you know, wide receiver than Debo is, and Debo's just such a really good all around football player. They get him the ball, you know, any way they can. Whereas Ayuk actually is, you know, strictly running downfield routes. And so I will probably have on my team one of those two guys, especially with how much I like the Chiefs on the other side. I think that game is prime for San Francisco to have to keep their foot on the gas all game long. Which is a scenario we typically don't see for San Francisco. So I really like Debo and I really like Ayuk. And what was your rebuttal about to be?
Well, some of that is, so the Chiefs have been without their first round pick, Trent McDuffie, since week one. And I think he is going to bring a pretty big boost to this, the secondary, because he is somebody that they were expecting to, I mean, really, and we saw it even week one. He played really, really well week one and really bottled up Marquise Brown for the most part in that game. And so he's been out this entire time. He is back this week, as well as Willie Gay, their coverage linebacker that they have, who has been also been out, suspended four games. So both of those guys are now back. And so I do think the Trent McDuffie thing is going to be a big deal, because last week they started two rookie tight. I mean, obviously, Trent McDuffie is a rookie, but there's a big difference when they were starting a seventh-round pick in Jalen Watson and a fourth-round pick in Joshua Williams. So they're going to get him back, and I think that helps quite a bit. Rashad Fenton was also out. We'll see if he's able to play. So they have been missing probably their biggest piece in that secondary in Trent McDuffie. So he is back now this week, and so I think that that we'll see how that displays now with him playing.
Yeah, that's fair. I still think KC being on the road, if this was in Kansas City, I'd definitely have less interest in San Francisco. But with it being in San Francisco, I still think Debo and IU can put up points here against that Chiefs defense. Outside of the Kansas City guys, Mike Williams had 7,200. I mean, he is pretty much the entire pass offense for them, outside of, you know, last week when they played Patrick Surtain in the Denver Broncos. This is not facing Seattle. Mike Williams should just be able to eat up that zone coverage all game long, similar to what he did against Cleveland, because Cleveland's been running a ton of zone coverage. He did that 2 weeks ago, and he put up 10 catches on 13 targets for 134 yards. Didn't find the end zone and still scored 26 DK points. So assuming Keenan Allen's out, I really, really, really like the idea of playing Herbert, Eckler, and Williams together, and maybe running it back with Walker on the other side or DK Metcalf.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
And stacking up that LAC Seattle game, I think I like Metcalf a lot in that game. I mean, 6,600 against the Chargers. You mentioned they can't stop anybody, and Metcalf has really been Geno's number one guy. 7, 8, 10, and 12 targets over the last four. He has only scored two touchdowns this year, but he is the guy that's heavily involved. He's got also in week four against Detroit, which was that massive shootout game, 7 catches, 149 yards, scored 25 DK points without finding the end zone. So DK Metcalf absolutely has a high ceiling here, and he's only 6,600. So another semi, you know, mid-range piece for that highest total game of the week. So I really like that Seattle Charger game, loading up on wide receivers there. T. Higgins, 6,400 is definitely way too cheap for him. He's getting back into getting full practices. I think he was removed from the injury report today. So this is the same situation we saw with Gabe Davis, right? Gabe Davis plays through an ankle injury, is just out there going through the motions and playing at 85%, scores, you know, doesn't do anything for two straight games, comes off the injury report. Then the next game, he catches a 98-yard touchdown on the first drive of the game. So I think a lot of the same can be said for T. Higgins. He's off the injury report now, practicing fully. He should be able to smash this Falcons secondary. And if A.J. Terrell covers Ja'Marr Chase, and Ja'Marr Chase is dealing with a hip injury as well, that's all more the reason for T. Higgins to absolutely smash Atlanta. So I really like Higgins here. Moving down the list, we already talked about Green Bay. Lazard is absolutely in play at 6,100. Ayuk's in play at 6K against Kansas City. McLaurin at 5,900. He has historically been Heineke's favorite target, so I have semi-interest in him. If you were to play at the Aaron Rodgers stack, McLaurin would be the guy that I would run it back with, because Heineke should take to targeting McLaurin early and often. Still moving down further. Dobbs at 5K is absolutely in play for all the reasons we talked about earlier. 4,500, Alec Pierce, he is in play. 4,600. Sorry. Tennessee has gotten absolutely obliterated by wide receiver twos this year. If you go back and look at the Raiders when they played, we were all, you know, salivating over Davante Adams having this incredible matchup against this Tennessee secondary. And what did Mac Hollins do? Mac Hollins went out and caught a billion balls for a billion yards and scored touchdowns. So it's been, it's historically this year has been the wide receiver two that has done all the damage against these Tennessee corners. So I really like Pierce at 4,600. And then assuming Bateman's out, Duvernay at 4,500 is another guy that I have heavy interest in. He didn't really do much last week, but this is a much better spot for the Ravens offense to blow up than it was last week on the road against the Giants defense. It's been playing rather well. And it was a defensive coordinator that, you know, was with the Ravens previously. So, you know, he's kind of had an idea of how to defend Lamar. This is just a much better spot for Lamar and the Ravens at home against Cleveland. With a Cleveland defense that absolutely should, you know, give up a ton of points here because they've been one of the worst in the NFL. So I really like Duvernay here a lot at 4,500.
Yeah. So for me, I think this week I'm going to be looking at one. I absolutely love T. Higgins call. He was somebody that I definitely was going to hit on. I think his time is coming to have a really big game. I mean, last week he did see 10 targets in that game. Didn't do a ton with them, 6 catches, 47 yards. But if you look at this matchup here a little bit more, the Falcons are 23rd in pass DVOA. Atlanta also allows the 6th most DK points and the 6th most – they've also allowed the 6th most receiving yards and the 4th most receiving touchdowns on the season as well. A.J. Terrell is also banged up. He may not play, which is it would be a bit even worse because that's he's really kind of the main guy they have. Yes, Casey Hayward I think is also still there, but Casey Hayward is not young. So T. Higgins is definitely in play for me at his price at $6,400. Chris Godwin I think is also a really good play. The Panthers secondary is banged up as well. And so I think Chris Godwin now, he looks like he's a little bit more back. He saw 12 targets last week, 6 catches, 95 yards in that game. But Chris Godwin could go nuclear at any time. And so his price at $6,300 is just incredibly too cheap for what he brings. I definitely agree with the Alan Lazard call. I think he is certainly in play. If you're wanting to put some pay down options here at wide receiver, Michael Gallup, absolutely love him in this matchup against the Lions. If you're wanting leverage off of if CeeDee Lamb is going to be absolute chalk, I think Michael Gallup can definitely be that coming off his injury as well. Saw over 100 air yards last week in that game, even though he only scored 3.8 DK points. He was targeted 7 times, only 2 catches for 18 yards. But yeah, like I said, he had 100 air yards in that game. And so he's already has over a 30% market share of the air yards in this offense since returning. So I do think Michael Gallup is a really sneaky play at $5,100. And I would prefer, you know, if you're going to, I think, you know, doing something a little bit different would be going Dak, Michael Gallup, and then like a Dalton Schultz and then fading CeeDee Lamb if he's going to carry that kind of heavy ownership in that game against the Lions. So really do like Michael Gallup a lot at $5,100. I don't think Joshua Palmer is going to play. I was looking at it. He didn't practice it today either. I would find it very highly unlikely that Joshua Palmer is going to play. And then if Keenan Allen also misses, I think that just raises up everybody else. I mean, that raises up Mike Williams to even higher probably amount of targets. But if you're wanting to get a little bit crazy, I do think you could go and look at a DeAndre Carter, who I think would then slide up to being their number 2 wide receiver. Saw 5 targets last week. But if Joshua Palmer misses as well as Keenan Allen, then I think somebody like $3,700 DeAndre Carter against the Seattle secondary, I think you could look at something like that as well as an option and down this 3K range of wide receiver. If you're wanting to get a little bit different, I think we could do that as well. If you want to play them. Also, I think a couple other options. If the Raiders do get up quickly in that game, and this really forces the Houston Texans to throw the ball, Nico Collins is also somebody who's been seeing a lot of deep targets on the season. He is definitely their preferred option as a deep threat, and he's really started to come really close to overtaking Brandon Cooks as the what looks to be could possibly be the wide receiver one in this offense right now. Last time he played, he saw 6 targets in that game. Saw the same amount as Brandon Cooks in that last time they played against Jacksonville. He's starting to put up some numbers. He has double-digit DK points each of his last 2 games as well. So Nico Collins at $4,200 in a matchup where they're probably going to be playing from behind. They're going to have to throw the football. Nico Collins at $4,200, especially could break off one of those, 40-50-yard touchdown, I think is certainly in the range of possibility. And then Wandale Robinson also looked really good in limited opportunities last week at $4,500. They said going into that game he was going to be on a pitch count, which he was, but he was targeted, like, of the 11 routes he ran last week, he was targeted, I think, on 4 of those, or excuse me, 5 of those last week. So, 10 routes last week. I was pulling it up. 10 routes, 4. He was targeted 4 times on those 10 routes that he ran last week. So they just don't have anybody else to throw the ball to right now with the Giants right now. I mean, you're looking at a team that's missing Darius Slayton. Kadarius Toney is out. Kenny Galladay is out. They just don't really have a whole lot of weapons. It's Saquon, Daniel Bellinger, and then, now Wandale Robinson. And Wandale Robinson is super explosive. He feels like a guy that Brian Daboll is going to try to figure out a lot of different ways to get the ball in his hands. This guy is the same dude from Kentucky who ran a 4.4 coming out. So I do think Wandale Robinson, I think at 40, what was it, 40, what did I have him at? $4,500? Yeah, $4,500. I think if you wanted to pay down, I think is another option you could look at. So those would be the guys that I'd kind of be looking at. Other than that, I think the really, really high price guys, listen, everything applies. Everything we just said with like T. Higgins applies for Jamar Chase. He had his first really monster game this past weekend with that 35 fantasy points. Like I said, this is a terrible matchup all around. Jamar Chase at 8,200. Certainly, Michael Pittman, again, really bad secondary here. He was targeted 16 times against Jacksonville. He is definitely the alpha in this offense. He's $7,400. And then if you want a run back option, I think I would definitely be looking at the sun god, Amon-Ra St. Brown, at $7,100. He was limited in his reps the last time he played. That was always the plan. He's coming off bye. He's definitely going to be 100% healthy, and this guy has 30-40 point upside if this game really kind of goes nuclear. So Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think, is also in play at 7,100. Do you have any other wide receivers you want to hit on?
No, I'm good on mine.
I feel like we hit on a ton of them. So same thing. Give me your top 5.
Top 5. I will say Debo, Mike Williams, DK Metcalf, and let's go off the board with a little value, Devin Duvernay, if Bateman's out.
Okay, I don't mind that. I'm going to go with I'm going to avoid the obvious of Jamar Chase, and I agree, definitely T. Higgins. I'm going to go Michael Pittman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then I'm going to go with Chris Godwin. How many do I name? Is that 3 that I just named?
Yeah.
You know what? Give me Brandon Ayuk and Amari Cooper. I didn't really talk about Amari Cooper. I guess I can really quickly just so I'm not throwing it out there off the board. Amari Cooper has almost a 30% target share in this Browns offense. He's 11th in market share of air yards. He's 15th in deep targets, 11th in red zone targets. He's kind of one of their only options. It's really him, David Njoku, and Donovan Peoples-Jones. But Donovan Peoples-Jones is much more, he's much more of just that field stretcher, deep threat. But right now, Baltimore has allowed the 5th most DK points to wide receivers. They've also allowed the 2nd most receiving yards and the 6th most receiving touchdowns to wide receiver. And so definitely profiles is a game that this Browns offense is going to have to throw the ball more than what they want against Baltimore to keep up, because this Browns defense is terrible and forcing them to kind of get out of what they really want to do with Jacoby Brissett. So Amari Cooper, I think, is also a very strong play. It's hard to really find somebody, especially down here, once you get further down, guys that are going to be able to give you or they're going to receive 28-30% of the targets in their offense. So I think Amari Cooper would definitely be in play. I didn't talk about him, so he's 6,100. He's definitely would be a part of my group as well.
Yeah, he's who I would, if you play Lamar, I would run it back with Amari.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and jump over to tight end so we can get this thing moving, get a lineup build. So at tight end, we have Kelsey, 8K, Mark Andrews, 7,400. Darren Waller is 5,400, but I really don't know if he's going to play. He has not practiced at all this week, and I'm I don't think he's going to play. George Kittle's 5,300. TJ Hockenson's 4,800. Kyle Pitts, still super cheap at $4,300. David Njoku, still super cheap at $4,200. Robert Tonyan coming off the 12 targets is 4,100. And then Gerald Everett is 4K. Maddie, who are we playing at tight end?
You have to like Kelce and Andrews up top. I mean, the tight end has just been an absolute wasteland this year. And those two guys just keep producing it week in and week out. So if you have a build you like with those two guys, absolutely run it. If you're not playing them, for all the reasons you talked about DeAndre Carter, I really like Gerald Everett. If they are going to be without Keenan Allen, and if Josh Palmer were to somehow miss, Donald Parham's also dealing with a concussion injury, and it sounds like he hasn't even practiced this week, and it sounds like he's trending towards not playing either. And he had just came back last week. So Everett's been playing this year as the pretty much the main one tight end, but Parham actually came in last week and got heavily involved. So if he's out, you know, that sends back to Everett being the one and only guy at tight end there, because, you know, guys like Trey McKitty are just terrible and not going to get involved at all. So for all the reasons you mentioned, Carter, liking DeAndre Carter, it makes me really like Gerald Everett against the Seattle defense that absolutely cannot cover the tight end position. So and that's been, you know, it's their zone defense that they play. It's been a thing that we've targeted them over the last 2-3 years. So tight ends against Seattle, absolutely love that. And highest total game of the week. So, you know, Gerald Everett is going to go be one of the lower owned pieces of that game and absolutely has 2 touchdown upside there. So you could see, you know, a realistic 6 catches, 70 yards and 2 scores. And you're looking at, you know, 25 DK points at 4K from a tight end position. Everett's probably my pick to, if somebody were to match Kelce and Andrews this week, I think it would be Everett. So he's probably the guy that I will end up on as a value tight end. And Kate Otten, obviously he's in play. He's going to be very popular because people just love playing the Tampa Bay tight ends when they're the only guys out there. With Brate, you know, having to get carted to the hospital last week. Otten is going to be the main guy, and Carolina plays a ton of zone defense, and you can pick apart them with the tight end position as well. So he's absolutely in play. And I think he's what, $100 over min price or something. So he is very, very cheap and makes you be able to afford a lot of guys. So I don't hate playing Otten either. He would be my super value guy, but I don't think he has the ceiling that Everett does.
Okay. I'm happy you brought him up. I think Kate Otten is definitely in play. I mean, we saw the one game with he missed. He saw 7 targets in that game, mm-hmm. the one game that he missed. But I also think that Dulcich as well for mm-hmm. the Broncos, who is min price. So, you know, he scored a touchdown last week for them.
The thing with him is he's going to be so popular that he's projecting as one of the highest owned tight ends on the slate.
Which makes sense. I mean, he's min price. I think,
and everybody just watched him on national TV score a long touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, and he pretty much ran a route, I believe, on like all but like 2 or 3 yeah. of mm-hmm. Russell Wilson's dropbacks.
He was heavily involved for sure.
Yeah, I mean, played 65% of the snaps, ran 20 routes last week, 3 targets. You know, the 2 catches, 44 yards and a touchdown for him. He is in play, but, you know, it's going to be how much his ownership comes in at. But I also think somebody else that I think is certainly in play as well. He's a little bit more expensive, but he's $3,400, and that's Daniel Bellinger. We're starting to see him become more and more involved in this offense. He actually played 96% of the snaps last week, 24 routes run, 5 targets, 2 red zone targets for him last week, scored a touchdown in that game. He has now scored touchdowns in back-to-back. He had a rushing touchdown in week 5, but this past week, you know, 5 catches, 38 yards, and a touchdown for Daniel Bellinger. And again, I think that at $3,400, I think for a value play, he would certainly be a direction you could look at. I 100% agree on Dalton Schultz at $3,600. Nobody's going to want to play him. One, he's been hurt, and he was supposed to play not that long ago, and he missed time. Or didn't even play. I think he re-aggravated injury like right out the gate in that game. But Dalton Schultz at $3,400 or $3,600 at pretty much, I think, that very, very, very low ownership. And I definitely agree on the call you had for Gerald Everett. The Seahawks have been atrocious against tight ends this year. They have allowed the most DK points, and it's not even close. The next closest, so far, Seattle has allowed is roughly around 23.9 DK points on the season. The next closest is on this slate is the Raiders, who are allowed 18 DK points. So it's almost six more DK points per game to the tight end position. And we're talking about a situation here with Gerald Everett where there could be a very got traded.
Yeah, McCaffrey. I didn't want to cut you off, but I just clicked over.
Oh, to the 49ers.
Yeah, 49ers. So do not play Jeff Wilson this week.
Also,
I don't think CMC's points will count because he got traded, but I don't know.
Deonta Foreman now becomes in play. They're playing the Bucs. Not a great matchup, though. But Deonta Foreman, what is he?
He's probably min price.
We're about to get people to jump in here.
Okay. Yeah, Foreman is 4K. He's min price.
Yeah.
He went to Stanford, so that's where he's from.
Everybody's running out to their waiver wires right now to add Deonta Foreman. Or I guess Chuba Hubbard for that matter. I'll do it for now. I'll figure it out later. Yeah. I don't know if it would be Chuba Hubbard, though, because Chuba Hubbard was terrible last year. I mean, towards the second half of the season, like late in the season, it was pretty much they were running a committee, if you remember, last year, right at the end of the year, because Chuba Hubbard was playing so terribly. So I don't know if that is if it would be or it could be Deonta Foreman. I feel like it would be Deonta Foreman, and then I think you would see Chuba Hubbard mixed in as kind of the change of pace, pass catching back.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Foreman would be my who I would prioritize between the two.
Now, of course, this is a truly terrible match. This is not a good matchup against the Bucs. So at least for DFS purposes, how much do you think he's gonna gain any ownership at 4K?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's a legit chance the Panthers score what, 9 points this week? I just can't play a guy on the team that's not gonna score any touchdowns.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like
they're without Robbie Anderson, they're now without CMC. They're playing with a third string backup quarterback, and I don't know, man.
Well, actually, it sounds like Baker. I think Baker returned to the season. Baker returned to practice today, didn't he?
I don't know. I haven't seen. I honestly didn't even look at anything Carolina related because I have no interest in playing any of those guys.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get back into this before we.
Yeah, this could get off the rails. So let's.
We're making such good time.
This thing up. Yep. We need to wrap this thing up.
This thing threw me off. Okay. So, you know, I think we were talking about with, you know, Gerald Everett. So Gerald Everett is 100% in play. Everything lines up for him to be a great play. Robert Tonyan, David Njoku. I think all of those guys in the 4K range, those three guys, Njoku, Tonyan, Everett. If you're not going to pay up a tight end at Travis Kelce, you're not going to try to get up there. I think I'm going to drop straight down to one of those three options. I think all of them are there. And then Dalton Schultz in the 3K range, Daniel Bellinger I've already talked about. And then if you're really wanting to pay down, you know, like I said, I think I would prefer Cade Otton to Greg Dulcich just because of how bad really this Broncos passing offense has looked.
Yeah, and I just put up ownerships just to check. Dulcich is the highest owned tight end at 21%. Next highest is Andrews at 13%, and then Cade Otton at 11%. So everybody is playing Dulcich and Otten this week. So Everett, who we like a ton, he's like the 10th highest owned. He's 5%. So that is probably where I will end up at tight end this week. You're muted.
You have any other tight ends you want to hit on?
Nope.
All right.
I am good.
Let's go ahead and just jump over to defense. What low or what cheap defense are you looking to?
The Jets.
Yeah, $2,600
against Denver. Yep.
Seems
they're actually a good defense, which is weird to say.
Yeah, they've played pretty well. Yeah, I would agree. I think that's
multiple sacks in every game except one this year. They force interceptions in all but two games this year. And they're not giving up points. 10, 17, 20 over the last three. And now they're facing a team that can't score in Denver.
How much ownership do you think, even though they're super expensive, is going to come to the Bucks now at 3,900? I know they're 3,900, but
those are the top two. So if you're paying down, it's the Jets, and if you're paying up, it's the Bucks. Those are the top two in projected ownership, 15%.
And I imagine it's probably going to go higher now. Yeah. With Christian McCaffrey. I mean, they have nobody that you're afraid of at all.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of people play the Bucks, and honestly, I think that if you do have, if you get to the end of your build and you have 4K available, play Dallas, play the Dallas defense. I mean, I know that they're playing Detroit, but we said this when Detroit went to New England, how many times does Jared Goff turn into a pumpkin on the road?
Yeah, but
and this Dallas defense is, Jared Goff is awful under pressure. And this Dallas defense is the best pass rushing team in the NFL. And I know we just, you know, they just give up points to Philly, but Philly has the best offensive line in the NFL. So they were able to at least mitigate some of that pass rush. But I mean, even Jalen Hurts was still, you know, under pressure back there. So I think they absolutely can turn Goff over. And I'm telling you, I'm going to keep saying it, that the Turpin touchdown is coming. He got tackled again last week with only one man to beat. It's coming. His touchdown's coming. So if you have 4K, I would play Dallas over Tampa Bay, but I probably will just play the Jets myself.
The only thing I would say is with Detroit, though, is Detroit's offensive line is elite, like top three. Like they are third in adjusted line yards on the season. They're also, in terms of sacks, they've allowed the fewest amount of sacks on the season. And they have a 3.3 adjusted sack rate, which is the lowest in the league. They've done a very, very good job of protecting Jared Goff. I think the game against the Patriots had more to do with one that, I mean, like I said, Amon-Ra St. Brown was extremely limited in that game. He only played, I think, like 25% of the snaps or whatever. And then, you know, no DeAndre Swift. And so they have their entire complement of pass catchers now available to them. Everybody's healthy. And so I think this will be a little bit different. And like I said, they've done a very good job of keeping Jared Goff upright and not allowing many sacks here. So, for whatever that's worth, that's what would be my pushback on Detroit and how good their offensive line has been.
For sure, but I think it's definitely, the upside is definitely there though with Dallas, who's projecting at 0.6, the second lowest owned defense. The upside is just there for that defensive unit, and like I said, Turpin, he very well could house two touchdowns in one game. So it's just a pivot off of, you know, everybody's going to play Tampa Bay at the exact same price. Like I said, I probably will not even pay 4K for a defense because that's a little egregious. We can't even predict defensive points scored. So I will end up probably with the Jets and just, you know, play, just eat the chalk there and save salary and be different elsewhere. But yeah, if you somehow have 4K, I would play Dallas over Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Okay. Not a bad pivot. I also think the Packers at $3,400, I think, is an interesting spot to get to with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback. Yeah. Taylor Heinicke's not very good.
No.
And so I think he's – and then the Broncos at $3,300 if you're wanting to pay up also with Zach Wilson at quarterback. The problem is I just don't think they're going to throw the ball very much. They're just going to lean on Breece Hall. So.
I'm probably just going to play the Jets. It's the lowest total of the week, 38.5. That is insanely low. And Jets are only 1-point underdog on the road, so it's basically a pick 'em.
Does CMC play Sunday? I don't think he will. This is far, far too much little time for him to be ready.
Yeah, this is it's Thursday night. I mean, he'll be in. Yeah, I would say no. They've already installed their game plan.
Yeah, and you're going to want it. So I think their schedule is, I know that, so, man, this really kills everybody. Like, if you had Elijah Mitchell, might as well you could just not worry about him anymore. And then Jeff Wilson's pretty much dead. But at least for the, you have one more, I guess, week.
Probably. You know who this is good for? It's good for Debo. Because he's not going to have to run the ball anymore. He may still get a couple carries just to change up the looks, but I mean they have no reason. They bring him in as like the RB2 or RB3 when they are dealing with depth issues, but like when it's historically been, you know, Mitchell, Wilson, who's the other guys that they've had over the last couple of years where they Mostert was there. Like those guys would carry the rock over and over again. And I mean, Debo only started coming in last year to carry the ball because what's his face went on IR. And so, you know, bringing CMC in, CMC is going to play. You don't give up a second, third and fourth round pick for a running back and then not play him every single snap. So
I didn't see the compensation. They give a second, third and fourth.
Yeah. I just saw the Shefty tweet. I got the notification on my phone. That's why 49ers are sending second, third and fourth round picks in 2023 and a fifth round pick in 2024. So yeah.
Jesus.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, at least for this week, I don't think it really changed anything for DFS purposes. Cause like I said, I would be shocked.
It shouldn't.
Because so they have this week and then next week they play the Rams and then they go on bye. So
he'll play next week 100%.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little bit more of a, not a full complement of snaps. It's working him in, giving him some pretty straight. Now I think running backs would probably be a little bit easier to work in. And you know,
I mean, the Broncos just signed Latavius Murray off of freaking the Saints practice squad and played him the whole game the other day. So,
yeah. So,
it's, like you said, it's running backs a little bit easier of a position to just pick up and go. Yeah. Because you're really only responsible for a couple different things. I mean, blitz pickups will be one of them. And then just, you know, knowing which direction to run the ball is the other and who to run behind. But I mean, knowing who to run behind is kind of easy because you just go where the holes open up. Right. So, yeah, they'll figure it out. And Shanahan, he's, you know, he's smart enough. He can get McCaffrey involved, even if he's not playing 100% of snaps right away. He'll still get him scheme touches and just say, hey, do this, do that.
And I also don't think it's actually a bad I think the Panthers are being smart in what they're doing. They need to acquire a bunch of assets.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
They need to go into full teardown mode.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what we saw with like the Dolphins, right, a few years ago.
Yep.
Where that's what they did. I mean, they tore it all down. They just kept trading, acquiring, getting just a war chest of picks to be able to do a lot with. And that's what they need. They need to tear this thing down.
I agree.
They got rid of the coach, get rid of him. You know, hopefully, you know, just suck the rest of the year, get the number one overall pick next year. There's really, next year's draft is loaded with talent. And so, you know, you're probably franchise quarterback out of next year's draft. And so I think what they're doing is very smart. Like, I really wouldn't be surprised at this point if they still trade DJ Moore, if they can find a spot for him.
I think they will. It sounds like I've even heard rumors that he may end up in Dallas, which if Dallas gets him, that would be amazing. I think he'd be a perfect fit for Dallas, and he's exactly
the only hard part is unless they're going to figure out ways to, because they're still paying a lot. There's still a lot of dead cap that are going to be on these contracts for these guys that they're going to continue to pay for them. So yeah, I think it would actually cost more because you're going to be asking Carolina to pay like a heavy.
But the tanking teams usually are okay with paying more because, I mean, they know they don't have to fork up money this year for these salaries. So
I think it'll be interesting to see if we see like a rework contract for Christian McCaffrey or anything like that, which I guess that news probably would have already come out if they were going to, because I mean, he had 30 million guaranteed on his contract, because his dead cap was for this year was the highest with 27 million. But even next year, he still has 18 million in dead cap, which goes all towards the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
10 million, almost 11 million in dead cap in 2024. That's a lot of money to be paying a player that's not going to be there for the next 2 years. So I'm wondering if they are going to figure something out to rework his contract so that doesn't happen, because that's a lot of money to be having on their books for players that aren't going to be there.
Yeah, I don't know.
So anyways, Anyways, we said we weren't going to do it, and now here we are. We're going down the road.
Yeah, we need to build a lineup and get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and build the lineup. Start it off. Who are we going with first?
I like the. Let's go Eckler.
All right, since I can do it, I'm going to go Justin Herbert.
Okay, Gerald Everett. Yeah. I was hoping you would pick Herbert.
And let's go DK Metcalf to run it back.
Nice. That's exactly what I would have done. Let's just plug in Jets D.
I'm going to go with a little bit of a salary savings here at running back, and I'm going to go with Travis Etienne.
Okay, and I'm going to save some salary at wide receiver with Duvernay. Still get Baltimore exposure, even though we don't have Lamar or Andrews.
I'm going to go with, let's lock in T. Higgins.
Okay, and that leaves us with 5K. Dobbs.
Exactly what I thought you were going to do, as I saw him. Okay, so that's this team. No money left on the table. We have Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Travis Etienne, DK Metcalf, Devin Duvernay, T. Higgins, Gerald Everett, Romeo Dobbs, and Jets defense. We are locking that in for week 7. All right, I feel pretty good. I actually really like that team quite a bit.
So do I.
So I think this is a pretty good slate to get a little bit different, go a little bit off the board with still being able to fit in some of the chalk. I think there's some nice leverage plays out there. But it was good that we were live when this happened. This would have been the worst if we just would have ended and the Christian McCaffrey thing would have happened. So we were able to talk through that a little bit. And so that worked out. Thank you, NFL, for aligning that for us. So anyways, I appreciate everybody checking us out. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. If you want to, we have an absolutely free Discord. You can jump there. You can find it in the description of the podcast, YouTube, wherever you're following us. There are links to that everywhere. It's absolutely free. Whether you're into DFS, redraft, dynasty, player props is popping all the time with Tom and Cody and a lot of other guys in there talking about props for the week. So if that's something you're into, go ahead and jump in there. I appreciate everybody checking out the show. Hopefully we will get the 3-man band back together with D-Bro for week 8. With that being said, hope everybody has a great weekend. Hope everybody wins a lot of money this weekend. Have a good weekend. We will see you guys next week. We out!
Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the war bounces. I see what you got, inventions and ounces. But that's a great boy. You're a big man. I treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a brace, boy. Yeah. That's a brace, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just stop wanting me to be someone else. Read like a book on a shelf back. You can be boy, yeah. And you can be little man.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.